for those currently AGOA eligible countries, we want to do a couple of things. One, substantially enhance the trade relationship. And we, you know, we're on this particular trip, we're visiting four countries: Cape Verde, Kenya, Tanzania, and the Gambia. Each of them with dramatically different economies and significantly different levels of engagement, but for each of them, an upside. So for us, it's increasing and modernizing AGOA to deal with the economy as it is right now, increasing trade, moving away from more of an extraction relationship where raw material or agricultural products are, you know, are at the center of this, but really think about value-added investment.
And also, U.S. interests in the region, in Africa, are increasingly undermined by China and Russia and other powers to fill the policy spaces left vacant by the United States and other Western nations. So is that something you think about and try to kind of close the gap?
For sure. I think one good example for me, because it's something I've been involved with personally, is the condition in Sudan. You know, I visited Khartoum for the first time under the prior regime and was very much involved in trying to encourage that democracy movement. Obviously, we've seen pretty significant slippage in what was once a hopeful scenario, but the lack of U.S. engagement made my job much more difficult, because unless we're, you know, significantly economically invested, it's very hard for us to make suggestions or encourage democracy without showing the tangible benefit of a capitalist economy, a democratic governance. We've got to be able to do more than just say the words. We have to deliver. And that's, like when I mentioned Sudan, it's been a particular frustration for me. I have a Sudanese American population that I've been working with, the diaspora, and I want to be able to have a stronger hand. The U.S. can be a force for good, but we can't be a force for good by just sending the equivalent of a get well card. We've got to be present. We have to be economically engaged.
And it's not only Sudan, but the surrounding countries, the neighboring countries, are being affected by what is happening in Sudan.
No question about it. It's destabilizing. It makes it much more difficult. Security is one issue, but when there's not individual security, when there's no national security, it's very difficult to have any kind of economic security, any kind of significant direct investment when the security situation is such that it dissuades significant capital from wanting to invest. We've got to fix that.
And Congressman, surveys demonstrate a fairly consistent support for both democratic norms and accountable governance in most African countries, and therefore a value-led foreign policy that reinforces democratic norms and accountable governance would be expected to find public support in Africa, even if it rankles incumbent autocratic leaders.
That's exactly right, and we know we can't do it with a snap of a finger. Africa is a huge continent, a billion people, with growing population in many of these countries. But we have to start somewhere. And we have some areas where we can make very significant progress in more developed places. But we also, even in those nations that are struggling economically, our influence could be tremendous, showing the way, showing that engaging will potentially also support the march toward the democratic institutions, toward democratic principles. And you're exactly right. The people that I have spoken to here on the continent, the people in these countries, they aspire, everyone, for the same things everybody else does. They want to be able to determine their own future, whether that's as an individual for their families or as a people, as a nation.